be continuing on in our series about entering into the presence of God. I want you to think about a place that you long to be at. It might be a beach. It might be a secluded island. It might be an apartment of your own, a house of your own. Think of that place. What is a place that you should long for? See, all these places that we long for are deficient. They don't meet the longing of our heart, do they? Some of us may have thought, in a more spiritual sense, we thought we'd rather be in heaven, right? That's where the longing of our soul is to be, but that's only partially correct. See, the longing of our soul is not just to be in heaven, but to be in the presence of the glory of the Lord. What is it about the presence of the Lord that we should long for and that our souls really do long for? In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says that you, Lord, will make us to walk in the paths of life. Then it says these words. It says that in your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy. That's what we want, brothers. Fullness of joy. Hear these words right before Leviticus at the very end of Exodus. The tabernacle, this place that the people would come to offer their offerings and sacrifices, which we've been talking about over the past few weeks, this tabernacle had been completed. And then we read in chapter 40 of Exodus, verse 34, it says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter into the presence of God. And then I want to point you to the verse in our passage that is the focus of the whole purpose of these messages that I've been giving over the past few weeks. In chapter 9, verse 6, Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do. All these things that we've been talking about over the past few weeks that the Lord has commanded them to do. Why? That the glory of the Lord may appear to you. That you might be able to enter into the presence of God. See, Moses wasn't able to enter into the presence of God because he did not have the blood offered for him yet. Moses and Aaron were barred from the presence of God. But because of the offerings and sacrifices and the blood sacrifice that was offered on his behalf, he was able to enter into the presence of the glory of the Lord. We've looked at how we enter into the presence of God over the past few weeks. In this passage, we see it experienced by the people of God who obey these commands. Read with me in chapter 9, verse 1 through 4. And we're going to see how the order of these offerings come to be. In verse 1, now it came about on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, Aaron was the high priest. He said to Aaron, take a ram for a burnt offering. Take for yourself a calf, a bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defect, and offer them before the Lord. Then to the sons of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil. For today, the Lord will appear to you. There's an order here in this passage, which is different than the order that we went in, because in Leviticus chapter 1, it begins with the whole burnt offering, but the Lord tells the people to offer it in a different manner. He says, first, you need to deal with your sin. You need to come in with a sin offering and pay for your sins and cleanse yourself from sins, because no man can enter into the presence of God who is sinful. Second, you must bring this whole burnt offering. And we talked about the whole burnt offering. It's to surrender our whole lives completely and totally into the hands of God. It's to have a life surrendered to whatever the Lord asks for us. And then we're to offer either the peace or the grain offering. These could be done in either order because we're made cleansed by the sin offering. We're made adequate by the whole burnt offering. And then we're called on to offer the peace offering. And the peace offering, you'll remember, was that meal that the people gathered to eat and celebrate together. And they celebrated that they had peace with God and they had peace with one another because their sins had been paid for and cleansed. And then they were called on to offer this grain offering or the cereal offering. It's like returning their paycheck to the Lord and saying, Lord, we know that our food has come from you, and our food we're going to return to you because we know that you have given it to us and you will return to us that food. You will provide for us. We just want to thank you, Lord, for what you've done. We want to thank you for allowing us into your presence. We want to offer these things to you because we love you. Now, you might wonder why the order in chapters 1 through 5 are different than the order that we've talked about here tonight. And I think the important matter here is that the focus of God is not on sin. See, he doesn't want to focus on sin, and he doesn't want us to focus on sin. He wants us to focus on him. He wants us to focus on our surrender to him. We were talking a moment ago about our sin, about how Satan draws our eyes back into ourselves, into our sin, and we begin to look at ourselves, and we see ourselves, how wicked we've been. But Jesus has told us, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When you confess, that sin is done for. You don't have to look back in guilt. Satan would attack you and have you look at yourself and your sins. But the Lord wants it different. He wants you to look unto him. He wants you to look to him and to the plans that he has for you, not into the past. We've looked at these offerings and sacrifices over the past few weeks. And we've seen that Jesus completely and fully offers himself as a sacrifice to complete and fulfill all these offerings and sacrifices. All this in order that we might be able to enter into the presence of the glory of the Lord. This place where there is fullness of joy. Unimaginable pleasures forevermore. And in verse 5, we see the purpose of why these offerings are made. Verse 5, so they took what Moses had commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the whole congregation came near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Moses said to Aaron, come near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then make the offering for the people, that you may make atonement for them, just as the Lord had commanded." See, there's a purpose of these offerings. And the purpose for Jesus dying on the cross, it's to make atonement for us. Remember, to make us at one with God, at peace with God. We're enemies of God until we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, our offering for sin. We're made one with God. And then we can behold the glory of the Lord. We can enter into that place where there is fullness of joy. We can enter into that vacation spot that we've thought of, that won't fulfill our needs, but we can enter into the presence of the glory of God and be completely and eternally fulfilled. When Moses had the opportunity to be in the very presence of God, do you remember what he shouted out? "Show me your glory! I want to see your glory!" This is the cry of a worshiper of God. I want to see the glory of the Lord. But our separation by sin prevents us from entering into the glory of God. Our sin must be dealt with, and it's dealt with on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the following verses, from verse 8 to 20, which I'm not going to read tonight, we see that Aaron, the high priest, obeys the words of the Lord and obeys the words of Moses, the Lord's appointed mouthpiece. And Aaron begins to offer these sacrifices for himself and for the priest because he had a special duty to enter into the very holy of holies, to enter into the tent of meeting. He had to be purified in a way that the rest of the people didn't need to be purified. So he did that. He offered the sin offering for his sin. And the burnt offering, to offer himself, is a full sacrifice for his whole life to be devoted to the Lord. And then he offered the sin offering for the people. He offered the burnt offering for the people. He offered the grain offering for the people. And then he offered a peace offering. And they had a celebration with one another. They ate together. And they celebrated the peace that God had offered to them. Obedience to the commands of the Lord is necessary. See, when the Lord tells us to do something or to stay away from something, it's important, it's essential that we obey. And there's a result of obedience. There's joy in obedience. It's not always easy when you obey the Lord. You might encounter trials and persecutions that you didn't ever expect. But there's a joy, a fullness of joy, because there's a result of obedience to the Lord. His presence. His presence. And this is what we come to. Results of obedience to the commands of the Lord. Especially obedience to come in faith with an offering. The offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the first result is that we get access into the presence of God. Look with me in verse 22. "Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and he blessed them. And he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went in to the tent of meeting." They went into the place where the glory of the Lord had come. That place where Moses was not able to enter because the glory of the Lord was there. But now they had offered the sin offerings and the whole burnt offerings. And now they could enter into the presence of God. They had access. They were qualified. They were cleansed. In the New Testament, after Jesus had offered his sacrifice, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "For by one offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." And in verse 19 it says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near." It's a command to us who have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ to draw near to our loving, joyful God. We have access to God. There's a second result. Verse 23, the second half of verse 23. "When Aaron and Moses, they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people." See, Aaron and Moses had a special entrance into the tent of meeting, into this tabernacle. But they didn't receive this blessing just to keep it to themselves. They left that place and they went to the people and they said, "The Lord bless you. Let his face shine upon you. See the glory of the Lord." See, they were blessed not to hold it to themselves, but to bless others. See, we've been blessed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those of us who have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, receive it, not to keep it to ourselves, but to pass it, to give it, to give it to our friends, to our families. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, so that you might declare the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you did not have mercy, now you have received mercy." You're to go. You're to go and bless. And then there's a third result and a fourth result, and that's fullness of joy and awe. Look in verse 24. "Then the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and they fell on their faces." A fire came down from heaven or from the glory of the Lord and burnt up the offering that they had given, this whole burnt offering that was slowly burning, slowly being overtaken by the fires, was immediately consumed by the Lord to show that he accepted their offering. He accepted them. He wanted them in his presence. And what do? They shout for joy. They cry out. Some of you watch Alabama football or Auburn football or college football, and you see tens of thousands of people in a stadium, right? When there's a good play, they shout, "Woo!" And the noise is so overpowering if you're in that stadium. I think this is what we have here, only for more important things. You see, there's a tension that we have. In a football game, when there's lots of plays going on and it's a close game and there's tension, right? You're not sure what's going to happen, but the quarterback, he throws a pass and the receiver receives it and catches it. You immediately respond out of that tension and say, "Yes! Touchdown!" We come to the Lord with attention. We're sinners. We're sinners who should be under judgment, but by God's grace, he has offered us a sacrifice. He has accepted us into his presence. We should get up and shout, "Yes! Yes, Jesus!" We We get excited about football and things like that. We should get excited about Jesus. In awe, the next result. They were in awe of the presence of God. They couldn't help themselves but to shout and to fall to the ground because they couldn't stand anymore in his presence. If you were in this presence, you couldn't stand either. When you enter into his presence, you will not stand either. And there is a coming day when you will be in his complete and total presence. In Exodus chapter 19, when Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, the people look up and they see something like a fire coming over the mountain, an earthquake rattling the mountain. There are trumpets and the Lord's voice is like thunder that's shaking them, and they're trembling as they look from a distance. They couldn't approach the presence of the Lord. They were fearful of the presence of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah goes to the temple of the Lord, it says that he looks and he sees the robe of the Lord filling the temple with glory. What does he say? Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I am of a people who are unclean. When you enter into the presence of God, you can't help but feel inadequate, in awe of the great and awesome God whose presence you were in. In Ezekiel chapter 1, 3, 8, and 43, Ezekiel continues to be knocked down as he enters into the presence of God. He can't stay on his feet. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, the people hear the voice of the Lord, the thunder in the heavens. And they said, if we hear another word, we're going to die. Stop. We can't handle your awesomeness. When Solomon completed the temple of the Lord, which this tabernacle, which we've been talking about, is a precursor to, the same thing happens. The presence of the Lord comes in full glory. And the people shout out and they fall to their knees because they can't stand any longer. And they can't enter into the presence of God because it is too great and powerful and majestic. When Paul encounters the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus, he's knocked down off his horse. He says, "Who is this?" This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the presence of the glory of God. See, in Isaiah chapter 43, it said, it might be 49 here. In 49 verse 3, it says, "Jesus, you are my servant and you will be my glory. You will show my glory." In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Jesus is the radiance of his glory." He has revealed his glory through Jesus, and especially through the works that Jesus has done and continues to do. See, Jesus didn't finish his work when he went onto the cross. He offered his sacrifice for us, yes. And payment for sin has been made. But he didn't finish. He rose from the grave and he continues to work. And on Monday night, as we gathered together and heard how the Lord is working, the thing that impressed me is that in your lives, the Lord is continuing to show his glory. He is showing how powerful and great he is to take you from the pit and to raise you up, lift you up out of the pit. You'll remember at the crucifixion of Jesus, the veil was torn, that piece of cloth that separated the people from the presence of God. And it was torn asunder because The Lord was opening the door for us to enter in freely. Do you know what happened after that veil was torn? Those priests who didn't believe, they got another veil and they put it up. People who will not believe have put a veil between themselves and the Lord. But those of us who have believed, that veil is torn asunder. The presence of the Lord can come to us and we can go to Him. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, those of us who have believed, we are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And because we continue to look at the glory of the Lord, we're being changed and transformed. We're being changed from our old person into the image of Christ. We're being changed from the glory of man, which is weak, into the glory of God. See, He's changing and transforming us. And Jesus has promised that this isn't the only thing that we're going to be seeing. We've seen great things, and we've seen the Lord working in our lives and in our brothers' lives. But the Lord has promised that one day He is going to return with all His glory and with all His angels. We talked about Philippians chapter 2 the other night. Tom Zobel did. Every knee will bow because we can't help it. And every tongue will confess because we can't help it that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lord of glory who wants to be in our presence and wants us to be in His presence. There is a Redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah. Oh, Holy One. When I stand in glory, I will see His face. Then I'll serve my King forever in that holy, holy place. Let's pray. Help us, Lord, to enter into Your presence and to see Your presence, to be transformed by Your presence, we pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.